as I had begun to pray, and as the people 2 weeks ago had asked whether or not we would accept the church, I really began to pray, and the Lord really began to lay some things on my heart. And I was down, and I was praying, much like Moses did. And when he looks in the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, verse 12, and it begins here and says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found favor and grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Carry us not up hence. But wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with me? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory." And as I begin to read those verses of Scripture and how Moses there had made his supplication, we know what had happened in these previous chapters. Poor Moses was in a real situation. God had called him to be the leader of the people. He had gone up on the mountaintop to pray, and while he was up there, his kids were down there playing. Did your kids ever do that to you? In the natural, when they were supposed to be doing something, maybe they were supposed to be making their beds, or they were supposed to be, and you had assigned them all kind of chores, and they just couldn't behave for a minute. I know my mom, we dealt my mom more misery when we was kids. Our old-fashioned ringing phone, the kind that hang on the wall that you had to do like this and crank them up to get them going, you know, and so many buzzes, and that rings somebody's house. How that works, I don't know, and I never have figured it out, and I tried to play with it when I was a kid, and I got in a lot of trouble. But it was out in the hall, and we lived in a two-story house, and consequently, when Mother was on the phone trying to conduct her business, my sister and I and everybody else that we could gather up in the house decided it was time for a real run around the house and make as much noise as we could. And we would circle Mom and circle her, and Mom's look would just, oh, it would just kill if you knew what I mean. And some of you moms and dads know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, you're trying to conduct business, and it's just like airplanes buzzing by you every so minutes. And then finally, sometimes she'd just hang up, and she said, now look, I've had enough. The next time you kids do that, you're in mighty lot of trouble. Well, Moses's people was in a lot of trouble. They thought, well, Moses has gone up on the mountain to pray. There he had gone. He had separated himself to try to hear from God. And when he got back, what were the people doing when he heard them? He got so angry that he threw the tables down that the Lord had given them directions for. And he came down, and they had him a calf that they had just erected. They had to have something to worship. Now, isn't that stupid? But they did that. And God got so provoked at him in the first part of this chapter, he said, well, you just forget about it, Moses. He says, I'm not even going to go with them because they're stiff-necked people and all of this. And Moses, being the kind pastor to his people that he was, he began to intercede. And he said, well, Lord, he said, you call me now to go with these, to lead these people out, and you haven't even told me how you're going to do it. And you've given me much, you've given me a plan, but look what your people are doing. And he began to talk to the Lord. And I know that there's always times in our lives when we talk to the Lord about things like this. But the main thing that struck me so much is that he said, well, I have not even, he said, well, you haven't even told me yet who was going with you. You haven't even let me know this. And he said, God said unto him, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, what more do you want, folks, tonight? If God's on your side and he says, go, then you can go. Can you not? And Moses said, oh, God, you and I are a majority. And you know what? As the children of God tonight, if it's just you and God, you are a majority because God is behind you and he's going with you. And Moses again responds, well, my Lord, don't take me up from this place if your presence isn't going with me. And that's sort of some of the prayers that I was praying. saying, Lord, you're not going to take me up from this place if your presence isn't going with me. And he began to affirm that. And the Lord began to let him know. He said, I will go with you. And then Moses began to say, well, Lord, I just want to know for certain. You know how we test him out. Well, Lord, you just tell me exactly and let me just know what your will and your plan is. And Lord, I just want to be so obedient unto it. And he said, now, Lord, if I've really found grace in your sight, just shew me thy glory. And you know he got what he wanted, because he wanted to see God's glory. And the closing verses of this chapter, it tells us there. And he says, verse 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall you not see. He wanted to see the glory of the Lord. And you know, anytime we seek the Lord, we're going to find him. And the Lord told him, he said, there will be a place on the rock. And you can stand there, and you know, aren't you glad tonight that we all have a piece of that rock? That will not move if we're built upon Jesus Christ, and he will hide us when the storms come, and he even lifts that veil back, and we even see some of him at times, do we not? We sang the song tonight, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and where the presence of the Lord is, there is such a sweetness, and there is such an abiding, till you can reach out and almost literally feel the rush and the touch of the angel's wings. And as I thought about these things through the recent days, I thought, where does the success of any individual in their Christian experience, any church, any organization rest? It's in the presence of the Lord and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and hiding ourselves away and waiting upon God. That is the secret of our success. It is hiding in him and asking him for his glory to be revealed. He does not want man or woman or anybody else lifted up. He must be lifted up. And he said, if I am lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. People can't help but come to the Lord if you're lifting him up. And I got so thrilled the other night as we were passing through and stopped to get something to drink at a little drive-in there in Rockdale. And we'd been in there once before, but this particular time I thought, well, there's somebody behind this counter, and I was just dying to know. She was just beaming all over herself. And I said, look, ma'am, I said, after we had gotten what we needed and came back up there, I said, well, how's your day been anyway? She says, my day has been, said, it really started out good because I got to go to church this morning. She said, the only thing bad about it is I didn't get to go tonight. And I said, well, just where do you go to church? And she began to tell me. She was a little black lady. And she said, I go over here to such and such a church, and it had the name Holy Ghost in it. And I said, you know about him? And she said, yeah, do you? And I said, yeah. And I thought she was going to literally jump across that counter. And she said, oh, she said, what does people do without the Holy Ghost? And I said, honey, I don't know, because I can't survive without him. And we just had the best time talking about him and his presence. And you know, if you've got God on your side, you're a majority tonight. And you can get excited, and you can tell somebody else about him and point him, because he's the one we lift up. And you know, if he is lifted up, he will draw others unto him. And then over, I want to leave another verse of scripture with us. In the 20th chapter, let's turn over there to the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And I want to read verse 12 of this chapter, where it says, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And I thought, God, that's where our eyes have to be. If our eyes are not upon God, if we're not seeking after him, we will be lost. And these people were in the midst of a great battle here. They were coming up. There was all kinds of people coming up after Jehoshaphat. And he began to stand in that fifth verse, and he stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he began to talk to God. And he said, and he went on down there, and he said, "But our eyes are upon thee." And I want you to know tonight, as a church, and as a Christian tonight, if our eyes are anywhere else besides on the Lord, we will not come through victorious. But our eyes have to be on Him. We have to be totally, I'm a totally dependent person, aren't you? Upon God and upon the Holy Spirit. And if our eyes are upon Him, there is nothing that you and God cannot do, and God, you and God cannot take care of. And with a people that will unite themselves and seek the face of the Lord and seek after Him till He reveals His glory, and until we fasten our eyes upon Him. You know, back in the wilderness, when there became the sickness and the plagues, Moses simply instructed the people to lift up that like a serpent. And today it is now the medical emblem today, with that little serpent wrapped around a pole. He said, if you will look, you will live. And today, if we must, the Word tells us that our eyes must be single to the glory of God, and our eyes must be kept upon Him. Then we can run this race, as the Word tells us, with patience, and the Lord will go for it, and He will be with us. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. In the darkest days and in the darkest nights and the darkest valleys, He will always be there if our eyes are single to His glory. The Lord wants us to have a single vision, just to see only Him, and Him lifted up high above everything. In the world today, it's awfully hard. And people have a hard time keeping their eyes on the Lord because of the situations and the problems that come. But there is no other answer. Jesus is still the answer, is the old song that we used to sing so much. Jesus is still the answer for our economic problems and for our war situations. And God help us the last few days of all the threats that we have heard issued out of the Middle East and all of this. It could really strike fear in the hearts of the people. And you know, when we look to any other thing for our security, it can go right out the window just with a snap of your finger. And it is going right out, right hurriedly. If our dependency is not upon God, if we're not totally dependent upon Him, and our eyes are not single to seek after Him, then we would go astray. But if we're truly seeking after Him, there is nothing that He cannot do for us tonight. And I would say that with to you as a body of believers tonight, that we must stand united in our efforts to reach our world for the Lord. There's so many everywhere that are hurting. Every day you hear them. And they're hurting for one reason or another. And if the body of Christ doesn't reach out to them, they will be lost forever. They will be lost. And we have a great responsibility. And you, within the change that is happening here, as I said, there's a change here. There's changes in all of our lives. And unless we keep our eyes upon the Lord, we will be like a sinking ship that goes down. But if we set our hearts and our minds to seek the Lord, then He will give the desires of our heart. And as a body of believers tonight, and I'm going to do something that I did in my service on Sunday morning in my service. I asked the people to come and join hands. You know, there's something in joining hands and hearts together that really spells out something and means something to God. It shows unity when we're ringed around together. And we circle their altar there. There's two of them. But we circled one of those altars and joined hands. And we prayed for our town, for our city, for guidance. You know, no job can be done by any pastor. No job can be done on anybody independently. But as we all work together, every man doing his thing, and you're in need of direction from the Lord. We're in need of direction from the Lord. And united we stand, divided we fall. And if we will wait upon the Lord, and I call my people to wait upon the Lord. Some of our people have been praying at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. because they're hungry to see a move for God. And they're getting excited about it. And they're going out and they're telling everybody that they can find about the Lord. And that's what it's all about. We're not seeking to go to the city of Rockdale or any other city to take from anybody else's churches. I said my desire is to go out. I want the street people. I want anybody that's just not going anywhere. The rejects of society, so to speak. Those that nobody wants. And I told my people, they may not all look like us. They may not all smell like us. They won't talk like us, dress like us, or anything else. But if we'll just reach them and let God do the work on them, then they can set fires that cannot be put out. That's the kind of people I want to go to. Those that no one cares about, be it a little kid or whoever on the street. And you know, that should be every one of our desires, because people need the Lord. He didn't ask us to look at their checkbooks and see how much money they had. He didn't ask us to judge them by their clothes or the smell of their breath, because once He touches them, there will be an instant change in their lives, and their lives will be changed eternally. And it's like snatching them out of the fires, the hell fires that are about. And that's what the Lord wants to do here with you people. And that's our desire. And I'm going to ask us tonight, we're going to do this, and this isn't even kosher maybe in some of our services, but I don't care. Maybe this is my last time. But anyway, here, so we're going to do it tonight. But I want us, as a body of believers, I want us to ring this place. And I told my people Sunday morning, I said, you count how many people's in our ring. And I said, within 3 to 6 months, we're going to do this again. And I hope we have to go outside and circle the whole building to take everybody in our circle. And that's what I want to see happen here. Till there will be such a fire that runs out of your doors. You know what? Let me tell you what the Lord talked to me about. And it's over in the 42nd and the 41st chapters of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to just skip down here. In that 42nd chapter, the verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee. I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to do what? To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison house, and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Oh, aren't you hungry to see this happening? And then over in that 41st chapter, in verse 18, it says, I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. And then verse 20, it says, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. The Holy One of Israel hath created it. I want you to know, if that don't make you have a Holy Ghost shouting fit and a runaway, I don't know what could. Because of the things that God has promised for His kids. And that's what I desire to see for you. And that's what I desire to see of my people. A place that would be, that they would know. It would be a place, a lighthouse, and a prison, a letter out of the prisons. And I tell you what, people are so scared today. In Houston, I saw them on the news yesterday, because they're letting out a lot of the prisoners. And they're so afraid they're going to be robbed. They're building all kinds of things of safety and all kinds of defense to keep their homes. But I tell you what, if we'll get out there and we'll get the gospel to them, they will not be repeat offenders, but they will be changed, and they will go from that to another glory, and they will change their lives and straighten up, and they'll act right, and they'll do everything they're supposed to, because our churches are supposed to be hospitals for the hurting. They're not retirement homes for us, folks. Did you know that? I have never found any place in the Word of God where He tells us that we can retire. He just says retread and go on. You know how old Moses, he was way up there in his 80s, wasn't he, about that, when he started out for the Lord. So none of us are too old, and I'm telling you, we still got plenty of life. At least I think I do tonight, and I'm ready to run for the Lord, aren't you? I don't want to lay my armor down. I want to take it up, and I want to fight the devil teeth and toenail, because my God says we are the victors. He would make us the head and not the tail. And it's time we take the authority that God has given unto every one of us and use it and know where we stand in God and see our world's reach for the Lord. Make it a hospital and a haven today for the hurting peoples of this world, because he wants to bring out of those deserts and those valleys out there. Oh, don't you love it on a hot day to go out and you find a little glass of water, and one right would really taste good right now. But anyway, need that there. But he said he would put springs in those valleys, and he would open up rivers in the mountains. And you've got a mountain here that the Lord wants to open up. You've got a valley here that the Lord wants to pour fresh water into. And I long to see the days when people will come to the church house because there's a, and they think it's on fire. See what's happening. I want a book of church, a book of Acts church. And I believe God is calling us back to that in this day and in this hour, and united with our faces toward Zion and looking up single to God. These victories will be ours. And I want to build such faith in your heart tonight that you can just go out and you can take the giants of the land for God. That's what I want to see done. We all have a job to do. Don't leave it to your pastor and your new incoming or whatever, but get out and get busy for the Lord and keep your eyes upon the Lord, because he's the one that's going to lead us out, and he's going to lead his church out with victory. He is not going to for a defeated church, but a church that I believe he would like to exit, and this whole thing, I'd love to see it wound up in a book of Acts when the Lord comes, that we're seeing such revivals and such things, and that the prison houses that people are setting in and the dark places that they're in, that the light of Jesus floods those places. Remember, his presence will go with you. He will go with you. He will not forsake you. He will hold your hand, and he will say, this is the way, walk you in it. The Lord wants to bring a new beginning to you and to me and to every one of us today. For this church, a new time, a new beginning that the Lord wants to birth forth. And I want to call us tonight to come to the front. And we're just going to stand here and we're just going to ring together tonight. I don't know how we're going to do this. We'll figure it out when y'all get up here, but just get the joining hands. Let's move around and let's have a prayer meeting. That's what God wants to do, and he wants to work out, and he wants to unite us with his Holy Spirit and with his grace for the task that is ahead. Your board is going to need your prayers. Our pastor needs your prayers in the move that he's about to make. We need your prayers. All of us have need of prayer tonight. There's not any of us that are exempt. And let's join hands tonight for a mighty move of God. And let's see a Holy Ghost outpouring and a Book of Acts church sitting right here at 4100 Old College Road. One sitting up at 310 Childress Street in Rockdale. One in the Baptist church here in town. One in the Methodist church here in town. And as a united people, we want to see all the churches fired up, charged up, and so we can go up, don't we? Praise God. Let's just join our hearts together tonight and our hands.